All right, as we get ready for this word this morning, settle down. I think you guys love each other too much. What are you, Christian or something? I invite you all to stand for the reading of God's word as we go to Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. Just a few verses this morning. We got a word from God this morning and a watermelon. How many of you love watermelon? Aren't you glad it's watermelon season?
Yes.
I mean, I love it. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. He also said this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Because the harvest has come. I want to preach to you this morning on just that. The harvest is coming. Would you give God some praise if you believe that this morning? Let's pray. Father, I just ask this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would use me to preach your word. That it be your words and not mine. Open our hearts to hear, Lord, and understand, and give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That this word will come back, Lord, producing fruit in our lives. That you would bless this time together. As we thank you, Father, for church and our church family, and for the grace and mercy to give you worship this morning. We entrust ourselves to you now and ask that you speak, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat as we get into this word this morning. The harvest is coming. The harvest in Scripture has many symbolic meanings. But one of the most common meanings for a harvest is a time of blessing. It's a time where you would enjoy the fruits of your labor. The harvest was, in Scripture, a reward from God for faithfulness and obedience. The harvest was a reminder of God's faithfulness, His provision. The harvest was the evidence of God's work and favor upon a person's life. I thought about Isaac, who during a time of great drought, he went out and planted a seed because the Lord told him to. And as he began to work the ground and water it, the Bible says a harvest appeared tenfold. See, the harvest is the evidence of God's work in your life. The harvest is when someone begins to grow spiritually. The harvest is God's fullness and faithfulness. It was a time of great joy and celebration because when you experienced the harvest, you knew that you were going to be okay that year. My question to you this morning, church, is how many of you desire to see a harvest in your own life today? Do you desire to see the work of God display in your life, in your home, in your marriage, among your kids, your future, your destiny? See, you're not in church just because it's Sunday. I believe you're in church because you believe in a living God. And the Bible says He is the God of the harvest. Give Him praise in the house this morning. And you desire to have a harvest in your life. And in order to see the harvest, everyone would want a harvest and ask for a harvest and desire a harvest from God. But if you really want to see a harvest in your own life, it starts with being dedicated to the Lord. It starts with making that decision that you are going to serve the Lord faithfully with all your heart and all your soul and all of your mind. It's a dedication to say, I'm going to put God first and put Him above all things. When you desire to have a harvest in your life, it's not just something that God is going to give you because you ask. The church may falsely preach that a harvest comes when you just believe and have faith and ask for it, but that is not biblical. In order to see a harvest in your life, in order to see the evidence of God's work in favor and His faithfulness and His strength and provision and power, you have to make your mind up. Will you serve the Lord faithfully? The harvest is not easy to obtain. It's not easy to say, I'm just going to serve God. It's easier said than done. Especially in the time that we're living in, serving God is one of the hardest things you will do in this lifetime. Because serving God is not going to be popular. Serving God might mean that you're the only one in your family doing it, or in your workplace. Serving God, you're not going to get applaud for it. You're not going to get praise for it. But when you decide to serve God, you're going to get criticism for it. You're going to get opposition for it. You may even get persecution for it. And serving God, though the hardest thing to do in your life, serving God will be the best choice of your life. When you decide to truly serve God. I believe we serve a God of the harvest. I believe God can bring you great joy and peace and provision. But it takes a choice to invest in the things of God. Let me prove to you that the harvest is not easy. And it's difficult. And it's found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. The Bible says, do not be deceived. He's talking to church folks here. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. The Bible says God cannot be mocked. Let me give you a translation in the Greek of what that word mock means. That word mock is to literally take your nose and shove it up your head like I don't care. It's to put your nose up to God. It's to have this arrogant attitude. And what? I don't care. I do what I want. Have you ever seen a person just stick their nose up like they're the ones in control of life? The Bible says, do not be deceived. If you want to stick your nose up at me, don't get it twisted, God says. Do not be deceived. A man will reap what he sows. And that word sow means to invest in. And there are two areas in life, only two, in this lifetime you will invest in. And that's either in the things of God or the things of this world. The Bible says the one who sows, who invests to please his sinful nature, because all of us have a sinful nature. Can I get a witness this morning? You wake up with your sinful nature. You drive to work with your sinful nature. You get married with a sinful nature. You get married to someone with a sinful nature. You raise kids with a sinful nature. All of us have a sinful nature. And that sinful nature is contrary to God. It doesn't want to please God. It doesn't want to serve God. It doesn't want to obey God. But here's the thing, when you give in to that sinful nature and you invest in gratifying your flesh, the Bible says the one who sows to please that sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And I don't have to tell you, you already know that when you live a life invested in your flesh and in the world, pleasing your own sinful desire, nothing good will ever come out of that. It will destroy you. It will destroy your home, your family, your children, your legacy, your destiny, your God-given gifts and anointing. It will destroy you when you live to gratify the sinful nature. When you live to invest in your flesh. And it's so easy to go out this church now and look out in the world and see so many people living destructive lives as they're just living to please that sinful nature. The Bible says the one who sows to please that sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Your sinful nature will say lie and save yourself. Your sinful nature will say go and have premarital sex. Your sinful nature will say, go and say what you want and do what you want. Your sinful nature will be selfish and bitter and want you to act on that. But the Bible says when you act on your sinful nature, you go ahead and do what you want to do. Have what you want to have. Watch what you want to watch. Gratify the pornography in your life. Gratify the bitterness. Gratify the unforgiveness. Gratify the sexual immorality. Gratify the homosexuality. Gratify that flesh. And the Bible says you go ahead and do that, but I'm promising you destruction. But the one, the Bible says, here's the other route you can take in life. The one who sows, who invests to please the Spirit. Because you have a spirit that wants to serve God, that wants to live in obedience to the Lord, and wants to live for the Father's will. But when you live to please the Spirit, the Bible says, from that Spirit you will reap eternal life. What does that mean? It means that when you are truly a born-again believer through faith in Jesus Christ and you have eternal life waiting for you, you have a desire not to please the flesh, but you have a desire to please the Spirit of God in you. That's why it boggles my mind, church, when I see someone say that they're Christian, say that they love Jesus, say that they're born again and saved, but their lifestyle shows that all they want to do is gratify the flesh. It makes no sense to me. The Bible says it's your choice. The flesh or the Spirit. But here's the thing, when you're sowing to your Spirit, that's what you're doing this morning. You woke up and who goes to church on a Sunday? You do. When you could have stayed in, sleeping in this morning. But you know why you're here this morning? Because there's a desire in you to gratify your spirit. Give yourselves a round of applause for that. Because your flesh woke up this morning saying, stay home. Relax. The church will be fine without you. But see, the Bible is honest, and the Bible says it's not easy to sow into your spirit. It's not easy to invest in the things of God like church and prayer and scripture. So the Bible says, let us not become weary in doing good. What's the good the Bible is talking about? The investment of the Spirit, the things of God. It's good to come to church. It's good to read your Bible. It's good to have devotional time with your spouse. It's good to sit down with your children and teach them the Word of God. It's good to serve in the ministry. It's good to serve God. Those are the good things that are going to invest in your spirit. But the Bible says there's going to come seasons when you're doing the good things of God, but you're going to get tired. You're going to get weary. Come on, I do good things for God. I preach the gospel. I preach His Word. I live my life with my family invested in the ministry. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it's easy. No, there are seasons we get tired. God says you're going to get weary in doing good. It says, not only do you get weary in doing good, but at the proper time, you will reap what, church? You will reap what, church? A harvest. If we don't what? Give up. God says you're going to be invested in the things of God. Doing the good things. There's going to come seasons where you get tired. There's going to come seasons where you have that temptation to give up. There's those seasons that the devil tells you, just give up on this good stuff. Give up on church. Give up on the Bible. Give up on prayer. Give up on doing the right thing. Give up on serving God. Give up. You're a hypocrite anyway, the devil says. You'll never amount to much. God can't use you. God can't bless you. God can't forgive you. God can't do anything with you. Just give up on this good Christian stuff. And the season, then you get tired and you wonder, man, is it worth it? Is it worth getting up in the morning and driving in the rain to come to church? Is it worth waking up early in the morning to read my Bible? Is it worth doing the right things and being obedient to God? Is it worth it? And you get tired and you want to give up and you want to give in to your flesh, the Bible says. So you give up and you just give in to your flesh. Give up and live for the world. Give up and live for your body, your sin. And God says that's a choice you have to make. You see, the devil wants you not experiencing the harvest from God. He doesn't want you to experience the blessing of God's hand and favor upon your life and your family and your home and your children. He doesn't want you living fruitful. He doesn't want it to be evident that God is working in your life, because if it's evident that God is working in your life, it's not only going to be evident for you, it's going to be evident for those watching you, and they're going to desire Jesus as well. The devil wants you in a drought. Can we say it like that? He wants you spiritually dry. He wants you empty. He wants you far from God, far from the church, hopeless, discouraged, depressed, defeated in the flesh, angry, bitter, upset. He doesn't want you to experience the harvest of God, because when you experience the harvest of God, that's when you truly begin to see God work not only in your life, but in the lives of those around you. God says, don't be deceived. You're going to get tired. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to live in the flesh. But ultimately, that's going to bring your destruction. And if you hear that whisper today, just give up on this church. Give up on serving God. Give up and go to the world. Maybe you're here this morning because the Lord wants the opposite for your life. And then the scripture we opened up with, we see a man that's experiencing a harvest. I was reading it this week. And this man goes out and he experiences this harvest. And I realized, I said, man, I want God to have a harvest in my life. I want to see God have a harvest in our church. I want to see God have a harvest in your life. But I want you to see what this man did that got him to a harvest. Because this man did not just wake up when Jesus gave this parable. The man did not just wake up and experience the harvest. This man did not get up one morning and say, where did this harvest come from? This man had to do something before the harvest came in fruition to his life. You want to know what he did, church? It's not difficult. I think we complicate it. I was in Barnes & Noble this week, and if you want to see how dumb we are as Christians, go to the Christian bookstore. Go to the Christian section at Barnes & Noble. You see all these ridiculous books. 7 Steps, 10 Keys, 50 Ways to be blessed, to be happy, to have joy, to have peace. I left her sick to my stomach because I realized all you need is this. And there's one thing and only one thing you got to do. If you want to see a harvest in your life, you want a better marriage, you want to raise godly children, you want better finances, you want to live in mental health, you want to see prosperity, let me tell you something. I'm about to preach this morning what it is. It's simple. We complicate it. Let me show you how simple it is. Verse 26 and 27. The kingdom of heaven is like a man. Everyone say, man. Scatters a seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. Go back to 26. What did this man do first? He got a seed. He wanted a harvest. The man gets a seed. He goes out to the ground. The ground is empty. The ground is dry. The ground ain't fruitful. But this man knows, if I want to see change on this ground of mine, I got to get this seed of mine and plant it. That's it. Step one. You want a harvest? Plant a seed. What does that even mean? It's not enough to have the seed in your hand. See, in the Bible, the seed, Jesus said, was symbolic to the Word of God. The ground was our hearts. Now you pay attention. And don't let the devil distract you now. Because Jesus said the Word of God is the seed and the field is your heart. And it's not enough for the seed to be in your hand, is it, church? It's not enough to be happy that you received the seed. You got to make it work and put it on the ground. And I'm afraid that a lot of us don't experience the harvest of God in our lives because we're comfortable just receiving the word, but we do nothing with what we receive every Sunday at church. And every Sunday you get a seed from God. You get a word from the Lord. You get instruction from God. And you leave the church. That was a good word. That was a joyful word. That was an encouraging word. I love that word. What are you doing with the word God gives you? Are you making it work? Are you applying it? Because in Scripture, applying, scattering the seed not only was symbolic to preaching the gospel, it was symbolic to obedience. It's that simple. How do you get the harvest in every area of your life? You obey the word of God. You obey this. The man that reaps destruction is because he sows to the flesh. Let me be honest with you. How many of you today have destroyed some areas in your life and you realize had you done it God's way, it would have been a lot different? Be honest in the house of God today. It's because when you apply this seed into your life and do what it says, it will bless you. James 1:22 says this, do not merely listen to the word. Are we great at that? You don't spend hours all week preparing messages, studying and all of that, to preach it for a half hour, 45, an hour. For you guys to merely listen, to merely just hear the word. God says, don't just hear the word. And so deceive yourself. There's another deception. Don't deceive yourself. How do you deceive yourself? By thinking that's enough. Receiving a word from God is enough to change my life. Receiving a word of God, going to church, receiving a word is enough to fix my life and restore my marriage and help my kids and whatever. Listen, God says don't merely listen to the word. That's a great start. You listen to the word. Oh. But do what it says. Guys, how simple is that scripture? I don't have to give it to you in the Greek, give you historical context. God says, don't just listen to the word. Do what it says. Do what it says. Come on, tell your neighbor, just say, hey, just do what it says. Don't do what you feel. Don't do what the world does. Don't do what your friends tell you. Do this. God has instruction for every area of your life. That when you receive this word, and put it to the ground. Apply it. You'll begin to see growth, fruit, and harvest. Can I give you an example why there's a watermelon here? I want to bless someone this morning with this watermelon. With a watermelon.
Thank you.
And you would be, Jay. How many want this watermelon? Show me your hand. How many really want it? You love watermelon? Sharon? I've got Sharon. I got Jay there. Come on, Zach, you want watermelon? Zach wants a watermelon. Yeah. Good. Come on, there's nothing. So, three people want watermelon. I'm going to give you guys watermelon this morning. So, Jay, come up here. I'm going to give you, and Zach, come up here. And Sharon, come on. Come up here, Sharon. You don't like watermelon. You don't like watermelon. Okay, fine. He doesn't like watermelon. Who else likes watermelon? All right, Kevin loves watermelon. You're working. You got to work. Okay, Kevin loves watermelon. I'm going to give you watermelon. All right? I'm going to give you watermelon. Come on. Yeah, give him a round of applause. They're going to get watermelon today. Want one. You're not getting this one, though. I got you watermelon seeds.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, I got you watermelon seeds. You go out there.
I've grown them before.
Go ahead. Grow them.
And pumpkins.
Work them. And pumpkins too, everything. Okay. Okay. Guys, have a seat. Enjoy your watermelon. No, give him a prop. No, get... It's my watermelon. Go ahead, enjoy. Give them a round of applause. Enjoy your watermelon. They want my watermelon, but no. I worked very hard to call my father and say, hey, go buy me a watermelon. I worked hard for this watermelon. This is my watermelon. But this is what God does. This is how foolish we are with God. You see some watermelon like this, and you see someone's life blessed, and you see someone that God is working in, and you say, God, I want that. I want a marriage like that. I want kids like that. I want to be blessed like that. I want your provisions like that. I want you to lead me like you do that. Lord, I want that water. I want that, Lord. You know what God says? I want to give you watermelon. I want to bless your life. I want to lead you with my spirit. I want to give you direction. I want to bless your family. I want to raise your kids in the way they should go and then not depart from it. I want them to grow up to love me. I want you to be stable. I want to bless you. But what we think is God's just going to give it to you. You like watermelon, Thomas? Here, Thomas, you can have my watermelon. Come up here. Come on, Thomas. You're good? Thanks for ruining my sermon. All right, Tamara, you like watermelon? Come on, give watermelon to Tamara. Come. I'm just kidding. Get your own. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead. here it is, Tamara. You get my watermelon. You're on. And it feels like sometimes this is what God does. He makes it so easy for others. Makes it so easy. I said, sometimes it feels like God just makes it easy on other people, doesn't it? But you can't question God. You can't say, why do you make it so much easier? I want this. I want a watermelon. God says, I want to give you watermelon. And I gave Jay watermelon and Kevin watermelon. I gave Sharon watermelon. But what I gave them was future potential watermelon. Hey, more than one, too. Preach it, Jay. I gave them future potential watermelon if they get the seed and do the work. Are you guys getting it this morning?
Amen.
You want God to just give you a happy marriage, you're not going to wake up to what happened to my old wife? This one's amazing. What happened to my husband? He's great. What happened to my children? They're so obedient. What? Thank you, God. It doesn't work like that. Church, you got to do the work. Can I tell you, the only thing God gives you without work is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Give Him praise for that. That's it. Everything else you need to put in the work and the obedience to do what it takes for the harvest. So you want God to bless you in an area in your life and change certain areas in your life. You got to take this word and say, Lord, what do I do? You got to get the word of God, not only for yourself, but you got to get this word. You got to spread the seed to other people. that you want God to change? Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. He looked at everyone with compassion. Look at Matthew 9:36. Jesus looked at everyone with compassion when he saw the crowd with compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. And Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. There's so many people God wants to bless and fix and save. But sadly, what else did Jesus say? The workers are few. It's so sad that there's so many people out there in your families, your neighbors, your loved ones that are lost. And that's a potential future harvest. But so many of us that know God and know Jesus, it's very few that are actually doing the work it takes. Notice what this man in the harvest did. The Bible says that this man, he went out. Let's go back to Mark 4:26 through 29. Let's read that again. The Bible says, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters. He put in the seed. He put in the work. Everyone say, got it. It wasn't enough to have the seed. Step two, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Though he does not know how. Say that with me, read it with me. Though he does not know how. One more time. He does not know how. One more time. He does not know how. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, he does not know how. Let me tell you why so many of us don't experience the harvest of God in our lives. Because not only did this man scatter the seed in obedience and faith and do the work that it took to get the harvest, this man demonstrates what it means when God's word is the ultimate authority in your life. And you know why so many people will never see the harvest from God? Because your emotions are first. Your opinions are first. Your thoughts are first. What you see comes first. But if you want to see the harvest from God in your life, the Word of God has to be the ultimate authority of your life. Your choices, your values, everything. What does God say? That's what I will do. But here's what this man tells us. He didn't know how. He doesn't know the science behind why a seed grows. He doesn't know why it needs ground, how much water it needs. He doesn't know and understand how. But that just answered me this. He did not know how, right? Say right. Did that stop him from planting the seed? There it is. So many of us get technical with God. I need to understand before I do it, Lord. I need to know why before I obey. I need to know when God says, trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own what? Understanding. Let me tell you, if you want to see the work of God happen in your life, you don't need to know. You just have to obey. But so many of us get so technical with God, and I need to know before I do it, and I need to understand before I obey it, and I need to understand the reason why before I step out in faith. But God doesn't work like that. When God's word is the ultimate authority in your life, you don't need to know why or how. You just got to do it. I don't know why I need to forgive. I don't understand it. How many of you understand forgiveness 100%? No one. But you got to do it. I don't understand love for enemy. That makes no sense to me, God. I don't understand why I gotta love this person that hurt me. then God asks you to understand why. No, what does God say? Forgive and love your enemy. And if they're hungry, feed them. But Lord, I don't understand that. And God says, don't lean on your own understanding. Let the word of God be the authority and just do it. I don't understand why sex before marriage is a sin. That doesn't seem fair when you're 50 or 60 years old and still single. You don't need to understand why. You just need to understand that God wants what's best for you. You have to understand that His ways are not your ways and His thoughts are not your thoughts and our thoughts were never meant to be God's thoughts. We just simply have to do it His way. I don't have to understand tithing to do it. I don't have to understand submitting to one another in my marriage to do it. I don't have to understand not to treat my wife harshly to do it. I don't have to understand why I gotta be on top of Callie and making sure she does the right thing to grow up to serve God. I don't know how to raise a godly child. I don't know how to have a blessed marriage. I don't know how. But church, here's the freedom. I don't need to know. I just gotta do what God says. Come on, am I preaching truth this morning? I just got to do what God says. Too many of us are so smart, we're stupid. And I need to understand why. You'll never understand God. But God just says, trust and obey. The harvest is simple. I don't have to understand, this guy said, how a seed works. I'm just going to go out and do it. And God's going to tell you things you don't understand. And God's going to put in your spirit, would you forgive this person and text them that you love them? Would you pay for that person's meal? Would you go above and beyond and give more than your tithe this Sunday? Would you just volunteer and serve in that ministry? Come to a place where you say, Lord, I don't have to understand. I'm just going to trust you. Amen, church? Just think about the people in the Bible that God used and blessed. They didn't know how. Come on, some of you right now, you're in that place. So I don't know how I'm going to find a job or keep mine. I don't know how I'm going to fix and restore my life. I don't know how I'm going to restore my family. I don't know how I could be a good spouse, a good husband and wife. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills, God. But I thank God that He puts us in a position where He says, you don't have to understand how. You just have to trust and obey. And leave it to me. You think that when Jesus called Peter to be a disciple, that Peter knew how to preach the gospel around the world? You think Peter knew how to plant a church? How to preach a sermon and reach 3,000 people? The Bible says this man was uneducated. But you know what he did know? He knew how to trust Jesus and follow Him when the Lord said, come and follow me and drop your net. He said, okay, Lord, that I can do. And that's how God blessed him. You think Abraham knew how to be a father of nations when he didn't even know how to be a father of one? But he trusted, not perfectly, but he trusted and obeyed. You think Moses knew how to be a leader of a nation of 1 million people in bondage. He didn't know how, but all he knew was he needed to trust God and obey. Go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You think David knew how to be a king of Israel? You think he knew the shepherd boy out in the field, how he would raise a nation for God? No, but he trusted and obeyed God. You think Noah knew how to build an ark? Noah didn't even understand what rain was. But God gave him the instructions. Build it this way. And Noah trusted and obeyed. You think Mary knew how to conceive a child while she was a virgin? She literally said to Jesus, to God, how can this be since I'm a virgin? But you know what? She accepted it and trusted God. You think Joshua knew how the walls of Jericho would come tumbling down? He didn't even know how to lead an army. But he was in his tent one day trying to figure it out when Jesus showed up and said to him, just walk around the wall and it's going to fall. You think Joshua said, why didn't I think of that? No. The instructions that God gave him were completely insane. Walk around a wall and keep your mouth shut. That's what God said. And on the last day, do it 7 times. And when you do, I promise you, your problems are going to be demolished. And every day, he got up and did what God told him to do. You think when God called me and my family to plant a church in Hialeah, I knew what I was doing? Here's a secret. I still don't know what I'm doing. You don't believe me? Ask all of my directors when we go and sit down for a meeting. We all look like chickens with our heads cut off. We don't know where we're doing. Where are we down? Where are we? Listen, 15 years, God has sustained us. You know why? Because every time we just walk in obedience. It's not easy. It's not easy, church. Psalm 126, 5 through 6 tells us it's not easy. Those who what? Sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. I want to close with this verse right here. Those who sow with tears will reap joy. And I want to tell someone this morning, joy is coming to your life. Joy is coming to your life. And you may be in a season where God says you're in tears. What does that mean? It's a time of sorrow. It's a time of hardship. It's a time of pain. And as Christians, we're all going to go through seasons of tears. Tears. Where you don't understand what God is doing. It seems unfair. But you know what the Bible says? It's in these seasons of tears that you get the seed and you obey. It's in the season that you're going through pain and sickness and suffering and hardship that God says, you just plant the seed and trust and obey. This man went out not knowing how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen, but all he knew was that he had a seed and he was going to plant it. Stop trying to figure everything out and just get the word of God and say, Lord, what do I do? Teach me your ways, because your word is a lamp to my feet. It will guide you. It will free you. You don't know how. But what I love about the scripture is that this man, he goes out and he plants the seed. And one of the hard things about farming is the seasons where you have to wait. Let me give you a picture of what a seed looks like in the ground. You see that? Those are different stages a seed goes through. That's why we can't just say, I did what God told me to do and nothing happens. Because the seed has to go through growth. And what they call, here's the thing, right? You want a good preaching this morning? Right here, the first three stages under the ground is called the breakdown stage. And here's what the Lord whispered to me as I was studying. Before you get breakthrough, you have to be broke down. And the broke down stage is where God begins to work on the inside. The broke down stage is where He's breaking pride from you and unforgiveness from you. And it feels like you're falling apart. If you feel like you're serving God and falling apart, you better praise Him, because that's a good sign that breakthrough is about to come. The breakdown stage is where you're looking and underneath the surface God is working, but over the surface it looks like nothing's happening. You're saying, God, I'm obedient, I'm serving you faithfully, but nothing is happening. But because there's another realm to the field, and it's underneath. And underneath the ground, you don't see it, but it's growing. It's working. And I want to tell someone that has a season of discouragement right now, that you may not see the evidence outside of God's working, but on the inside, in the spiritual realm, God is doing things you don't even know about. And He's working when you don't see Him. You just have to keep being faithful, and you keep watering that ground. You keep applying the Word of God. You keep on keeping on, because soon something amazing happens. Breakthrough. And that's when you begin to see God working. That's what happened with Jacob. Jacob was afraid for his future, didn't know what he was going to do, betrayed and lied to his brother, stole the inheritance, was running away like a fugitive. Out one night, he's by himself. He separates his family because he says, if one person kills this wife, at least this wife can be saved. This man's life was falling apart. He was so bad that he literally split his family. And today we live in those times where so many families are split. So many people have no direction for their life. So many people are living the consequences of their past, and they don't know what's next. And they're living with fear and discouragement and depression. And that's what Jacob was going through. And all he did was lay down. And as he laid down, the Lord gave him a vision. And in that vision was a ladder from heaven to earth. And angels were ascending and descending, because in scripture, angels carry out the work of God. And it was constantly going up and down, because God was letting him know, you're afraid, you don't know what's going on, you don't know what's next, you don't know what to do, you're discouraged, you're depressed, your family's falling apart, your life is falling apart. But Jacob, what you don't understand, that in the spiritual realm, I'm doing things you don't even see. I'm working in ways you don't even know, and I never stop working, and you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And Jacob wakes up and he said, my God, surely God is in this place and I didn't even know it. See, that's the field. When you're going through a breakdown and you don't see God working, He's always working. And the breakthrough will come. And it will grow, the Bible says. It broke through. The seed started growing. And the man got a harvest. Give God some praise today. Let's all stand to our feet today. Here's my prayer today. Here's my prayer today. Because the Bible says night and day, this man, whether he went to bed, whether he got up, the seed was growing. God was working. If there's anything I want you to get today, the prayer that I want you to come to this altar for this morning is 1 Corinthians 3:6. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, I planted the seed. Everyone say, I planted the seed. Paul said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So you know what God says here? You do what you have to do. You obey my word. You do what's in your power to do. But you leave the rest to me. And you trust me for the growth. So you go out there and you plant the seed. You do the work. You obey me. And what God is saying here is, while human effort and obedience is important, ultimately God has the final word. Amen. So I want to open up this altar today. If you're going through a breakdown, would you come forward this morning and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I need direction. I'm discouraged. I have your word, God, but right now, it's a place of discouragement. If you're going through a breakdown, and maybe you're here this morning and you're in the other realm, you're saying, Lord, I'm in the flesh. And I'm giving too much of my seed to the flesh. And I want to die to my flesh and live for my spirit and grow for the harvest. And that's you. You come forward today. And would you humble yourself before God with every head bowed and every eye closed? And would you just tell God the honest truth? Lord, I don't know how. Tell God, Lord, I don't know. Tell the Lord what it is. You don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to do this or do that. I don't know how I'm going to reach my family. I don't know. Would you humble yourself and tell God, I don't know how, but Lord, I will have the faith to do what it takes. I will water the seeds. I will plant the seeds. But Lord, I ultimately need you to do what I can. I need you to bring the growth. And determine today, you don't need to know. You just need to trust him. And Father, I thank you for every person here today. You have given us a word, and I pray that this word not just be in our hands, but it will be planted with obedience, that we will do what we know we need to do and trust you when it makes no sense. Father, that we will sow in tears when times are hard and discouraging and depressed. Lord, we will go out and still do your word and faithfully trust you and obey you. We will water and plant. But Father, we trust you to grow. And there are things in our lives we don't know how. So we leave it to you, knowing that we are going through a breakdown. We don't see anything in the outside. But underneath the surface, Lord, you are doing more than we can imagine. And there are two people I want to pray with today. The Lord's putting in my spirit. The one is Kadia. Would you put your hand on Kadia today, who's looking for direction right now, doesn't know what's next in her life, serves God, loves the Lord, but God has her in a season of breakdown. Would you put your hand on her today? Kadia, the Lord's going to direct you in ways you can't imagine. He's going to open doors for you you never even thought of. But Kadia, there's pride in you. You need to humble yourself and tell the Lord right now, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the strength. I don't have all the wisdom. And would you remind yourself what you tell so many people? Trust in the Lord. Just rely on him. And Father, I pray for Kadia now that you would lead her as she is breaking down, Lord. We know that breakthrough is coming. We know, Lord, that you're going to use her in ways she never imagined. You're going to do things in her life, Lord, that she never understood. But Father, today, Kadia has faithfully planted and watered. But now she needs to wait and trust you to grow the vision that you've given her to destiny. Would you put your hand on Tamara today, who who's gone through many seasons of tears and hardships, who today, this Sunday, may be her last Sunday as she goes out and moves from Florida and follows her family. Father, we love Tamara. I thank you, Lord, that you brought her back to your house. I thank you for her love for you, her love for her children and family. Father, would you put your hand upon her that wherever you plant her now, whether it be here or in another state, wherever you plant Tamara, your favor and harvest will follow. That people will see the work of God in her life, where she can only give you the glory. And I pray, Tamara, that you would have the faith and the strength that even when you don't know how, you will trust and obey the Lord who has nothing but the best waiting for you. And church, one more time, would you put your hand on Paulette today, who joined us for this word today. Paulette, my sister in Christ, the end, that what you think is the end is just the beginning. God's getting ready for a breakthrough in your life. God has taken care of you. You have gone through seasons of tears and hardship and loss and struggle. And when we lost Pete, it was one of the hardest times in Paulette's life. And she has struggled emotionally. She has struggled spiritually. She has struggled financially. But Paulette, I'm here to tell you this morning that you are just breaking down because a breakthrough is coming in your life and God is getting ready to release a blessing upon your life. Because even though you may not think it or feel it, you are faithful in the eyes of God. You have been faithful in obeying Him. Not perfect, because no one is, but God sees you, Paulette. He sees you. You may not see Him because you're underneath the ground right now. But right now there is growth happening inside you that's going to break out and bless many people in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this word. We receive this word in Jesus' name. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise today. And hug someone on your way back to your seat. And hug someone and tell them the Lord is breaking down for breakthrough in Jesus' name.